Today we're going to talk a lot about the wilderness and tests and Lent. We'll consider taking a walk on the wild side. Today's text is often found on the first Sunday of Lent in one of these three renditions. The temptation or test of Christ's story is found in all three of the synoptic gospels, that is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're presented with hopes that readers of the text will consider not only divinity and providential purpose of Jesus, but to be reminded of his humanness. With these texts as our backdrops, we are provided points of contemplation of and for our own Lenten journeys. For those who are not familiar or who weren't here last week to hear about Lent and its description, its root word actually means spring. But for Christians, it is the season before Easter. Often you'll hear it referred to as the journey to the cross. It's the 40 days before Maundy Thursday, specifically, the gathering of Jesus and his disciples for their last Passover meal together, just before his crucifixion the following day. The 40 days of Lent find their symbolism in their Judeo-Christian roots. First, there were the 40 years Moses and his people wandered in the wilderness, just after the first Passover meal. And then, its New Testament roots finding meaning in Christ's 40-day fast in the wilderness, which is as follows. From Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus was taken into the wild by the Spirit for the test. The devil was ready to give it. Jesus prepared for the test by fasting 40 days and 40 nights. That left him, of course, in a state of extreme hunger, which the devil took advantage of in the first test, saying, "Since you are God's son, speak the word that will turn these stones into loaves of bread." Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words from God's mouth." For the second test, the devil took him to the holy city. He sat him up on the top of the temple and said, "Since you are God's son, jump." The devil goaded him by quoting Psalm 91. "He has placed you in the care of angels. They will catch you so that you won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." Jesus countered with another citation from Deuteronomy, "Don't you dare test the Lord your God." For the third test, the devil took him to the peak of a huge mountain. He gestured expansively, pointing out all the earth's kingdoms, how glorious they all were. And he said, "They're yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Just go down on your knees and worship me, and they're yours." Jesus' refusal was curt. "Beat it, Satan." He backed his rebuke with a third quotation from Deuteronomy, "Worship the Lord your God and only him. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." The test was over. The devil left, and in his place, angels. Angels came and took care of Jesus' needs. Jesus was taken into the wilderness. We hear that. It's kind of like, "Hey, Jesus, take a walk on the wild side." And the Spirit said, "Do, do, 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 do." Yeah, let's do that wilderness together. The wild. If I were to tell you that the Spirit was going to take you to the wilderness, how would you respond? Do you think that all of our definitions are the same? I mean, how do you envision it? How does going into the wild make you feel? Nervous? Excited? Terrified? Angry? Ready? Well, for me, well, it excites me. I mean, if I were dragged into the wild by a pack of wild dogs, that's a different scenario. But God's Spirit calling me into the wild? Wow, my mind goes straight to camping. Yes, camping. With memories and an imagination brought about by a combo of reading Little House on the Prairie books and watching The Swiss Family Robinson. Ugh, I love that movie. Sure, the latter was a controlled wilderness concept as tweaked by Disney, but even the idea of adventure and creative survival seems really interesting to me. I know it's not for everyone. For some, when they hear wilderness, they begin grappling with fear. You know, the loss of control, or at least loss of creature comforts. I mean, how will I plug my Keurig in out here? My Depression-era mom, when I would beg and beg her to go camping, would reply, "I camped for the first 15 years of my life. I'm not going to voluntarily do it again." But I've even got to admit, No one really likes the thought of lacking necessary provision, unless there's a big payoff, like on the show Survivor, and still there they have medics on the alert. With all of these ideas of wilderness, it might be in good form, then, to have a working understanding of what it means in the biblical context, as at least for today. So let's begin in the New Testament language of Greek. The word we find for wilderness, at times is translated as desert, is eremos. Properly, it means an uncultivated, unpopulated place, a desolate or deserted area. In its more figurative form, it can mean a barren or solitary place that also provides needed quiet, freedom from disturbance. In Scripture, eremos is the place where God often speaks to folks. That is, God grants his presence and provision for those seeking him. The limitless Lord, it seems, shows himself just to be the strong provider. Now, to merge these ideas for our use today, then, wilderness is a space both physical and mental, which is free from our daily distractions, especially the familiar, to allow focused, solitary engagement of self and situation. Free-range thinking. Allowing yourself to step out of the ordinary. Stepping into the wilderness is stepping away from being overly involved to a point of observation. You know, step away for a good gander, or to quote a historically set hip-hop phrase, if there's a fire you're trying to douse, you can't put it out from inside the house. Thanks, Lin-Manuel. Wilderness becomes then a place for folks to review and assess where they've been, who they've been, and how they've responded, and then where they are called to go with intention. To be proactive versus reactive to the world's tests, so to speak. So why is this concept so terrifying to so many? Why do we turn and go down the other, more worn road versus the road less traveled? I want us to spend time thinking about this on this first Sunday of Lent, seriously. Seriously enough to carry it with us for the next 40 days. It's a pilgrimage in which you can take part without packing. This is one that is actually quite the opposite. Instead of packing a bag, you spend time unpacking your baggage, taking the time to see what you've shoved in your life so tightly that you can't see it anymore. Again, so we know what we're looking for. We need to return to the Scripture and the three tests of Jesus so as to lay some categorical groundwork. So here you go. Remember, the stone was something he was tempted to turn into bread. And then there is that miraculous rescue if Jesus would throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. And third, Jesus was enticed to pursue glory and authority through power. These temptations, desires, needs are still really common to all of us. First, people still want and strive for provision of the staples. Bread is symbolic for our provisions to take care of our needs. But for many of us, we expect, if not demand, provision of all of our wants as well. Two, people still want God to do magical miracles, rescuing us from foolish decisions of either others, but usually ourselves. People still want God to fix their big messes so they can move on and forget, often with little or no personal accountability. Oh, and boy, don't we make bargains and deals with God if he'll only take out the problems of our lives. Ugh. Three, people want the glory. They want the recognition and the authority and the acclaim, but really they want the power. And usually, they want the power at any expense. So here we are, ready to consider our own potential wilderness trek or walk on the wild side. Starting to seem a bit more looming than just not being able to plug in the old Keurig, isn't it? What does your wilderness look like? What questions and tests do you think you will be asked if you let down your guard, allowing yourself to be open to the elements as Spirit leads you on your way? Now, most people I know, when they think about Lent and wilderness, they look at these challenges and they jump to, okay, I'm going to give up chocolate for Lent, or coffee, or booze. Now, I'm not judging these choices, but if you go back to our three test category, be real about why chocolate has provided you some sort of unhealthy comfort. So instead of simply giving up something, whenever you engage the test, wanting to cave, begin the examination of why this has become something you have depended upon. With Spirit as your companion, God with you. Unpack it. Some folks don't give things up. They add elements of self-care, both spiritual and physical. So instead of simply engaging in the action, or more than likely when you try to convince yourself it's okay to not take action on a particular day, consider it a test. Unpack it. Why is this commitment to said activity so hard to stick to? Working with spirit, God with you, you might just find out. 40 days of wilderness trekking can begin today. Maybe just by you taking time to figure out just what wilderness experience with spirit requires of you. Has spirit begun to rummage through your pack enough to uncover those areas, spaces, choices, substances, lures that control your mind and time and talents? The things that keep you distracted, dumb, or numbed from truly stepping into a time of self-discovery? Are there things that you should turn over to God's care but are just not really ready to try? Not even for 40 days. Do you doubt God's ability to care and carry you through your wilderness? Or even more buried in that pack of yours, are you afraid of what God in the wilderness will carry you away from? These are very real and deep questions that must be faced when you seriously consider Lent, as Lent is to be considered. And maybe in the questions you are finding every reason to put this off until another time, you know, maybe next year. But I urge you to reconsider putting off unpacking your wilderness bags for another day's journey and boldly take the first step into your wilderness. You won't be alone. The same God, the same Spirit that was with Jesus on his journey is the same loving God ready to walk with you on the wild side.
Take a walk on the wild side. Say,